What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap, it's Fightful Select. It's the Backstage Report. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. You guys have seen some of my interviews this week. We'll get to them, but let's get to some of the news that we broke. Dakota Kai, you may have seen her, or not seen her, rather, over recent weeks. She has been doing up-up-down-down work of late with Jessamyn Duke, Shayna Baszler, Mia Yim, also known as Reckoning. But I'm told that she doesn't actually have an injury. They're just sorting out her visa, and then she'll be back to work. She's going to continue the up-up-down-down duties until then. You also might have seen me talking to Kevin Owens. And I asked him about the new Mountie thing. And we talked about a variety of topics, but that one was one that we kicked off with, so to speak, because it got a lot of traction throughout last week, and Owens was like, man, I don't remember that at all. Now, the way in which Nick Dinsmore told this story on Chris Van Vliet's show, it was hard to tell what he was joking about. Dinsmore claims that he found out that Owens had trained under Jacques Rougeau, the original Mountie. The original Mountie, as if there were more than one, the Mountie. But Dinsmore said that when he was a coach in WWE, he ribbed Kevin Owens by saying that they were going to make him the new Mountie, and that Kevin Owens cried when he found out. Now, the way in which Dinsmore said this, it was clear that something was a joke. It just wasn't clear whether or not the entire idea was a joke, the entire story was a joke, him telling Owens was a joke, Owens' reaction of crying was a joke, or anything like that. It was very, very hard to decipher. And Kevin Owens told me that he reached out to Nick Dinsmore about this, and Dinsmore was like, oh, don't you remember I ribbed you about this? And Owens said, no, I do not remember that at all. But they did confirm Owens is not on great terms with the original Mountie. This has been well publicized in the past. But Owens also reiterated to me that he did not cry, regardless of if this story is true, because he is a grown man and will not cry over such things as that. Now, this interview is doing really well. It's already cracked our top five of the year. Sorry, Sue. Kevin Owens came out of nowhere and has been doing really well, so I want to thank you guys for supporting it. We spoke about Roman Reigns, and I loved how transparent that Kevin Owens was in this interview. He said Roman Reigns has never been better than this, and he thinks that everybody can kind of agree on that. And he really commended Paul Heyman and Jey Uso and everybody involved for pushing each other creatively. He says that really, really motivates him and pushes him, and that's always good to hear. He's been involved in ladder matches every year since 2015, and says that even though he has a lot of experience with them, he doesn't really consider the offense until the days and weeks leading into that match. But that led me to ask about more of his offense, like the stunner. Now, he used this stunner at, I believe it was Rumble 2017, I was there. And he and Steve Austin discussed this on Steve Austin's podcast months after it happened and joked that it didn't finish anybody. Well, Owens told me that he did go to Steve Austin and ask for permission for it and was given permission, and that Steve Austin was more like, yeah, I've been wondering when somebody was going to use it or ask me to use it or something like that. So that was a bit surprising to me, and I understand that in that type of situation, it's got to be intimidating for some wrestlers to be like, hey, greatest wrestler of all time, maybe, from a draw standpoint, can I use your finishing move, the most iconic of all time, perhaps? But Kevin Owens did it, and he's made it his finish. He did indicate to me that it wasn't time to use it as his finish for a long time, but that he'd seen a lot of people using the powerbomb and kind of wanted to go away from it. But we didn't just talk about that. We talked about the Steenalyzer. Now, if you've never seen the Steenalyzer, it is a sight to behold. It made it onto a WWE video game, and it's actually the move, if you remember, watching Hiromu Takahashi be sidelined for about a year. That was the move that did it. It wasn't with Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens said that he would go to wrestlers and say, I would not take this, so if you don't want to take this, that's fine. But he wanted to retire because he had some close calls. He never hurt anybody with it, but it was too close for comfort for him to continue using. And he knew that something like that would not fly in WWE, so he didn't even bother. He was done with that well before. Now, I have heard, and we did report on Fightful months ago, that Kevin Owens had been trying to further the idea of using a package pile driver. And I was told that comes up pretty often. So I don't know how that will flesh out considering he's using the stunner now, but I always love to hear the stories about people's offense and what they do and what they don't do. Might have seen me talking to the Young Bucks as well. It was a huge week for interviews for us. Really, probably our best two-month stretch that we've ever had here at Fightful. So I want to thank everybody that made that possible. But Matt Jackson said that he and Nick probably would have never left Ring of Honor if they gave them the right offer. The number they were offered was so far below what they expected that they realized that they were finally going to have to shop themselves, and they didn't seem to think that they'd be doing that. They're still not sure why Ring of Honor and New Japan didn't get together and make a deal for everyone who left, but they think that it would have if they would have actually known about AEW, they being Ring of Honor and New Japan, that the offer would have been higher. Because from what Matt and Nick said in our interview, it didn't seem like WWE even knew about All Elite Wrestling or knew that the possibility of it was coming up. So, therefore, of course, probably Ring of Honor and New Japan aren't either. Although there were a lot more ingredients from Ring of Honor and New Japan involved in All Elite Wrestling, so I guess that did kind of surprise me. So I got some more out of the Young Bucks on their WWE negotiations. They spoke really highly of Triple H, and that's something I was very happy to hear. Trying to get some positivity out there into the world in that regard. But they said that Triple H probably gave them four or five different offers, and that he was really charming in that they thought negotiations were over. They thought that they were going to move on, do something else, and they would have another meeting scheduled in 2 weeks with WWE. And Matt said that there was one point where he, Nick, and Kenny Omega were all like, wow, we're going to end up in WWE. And Nick said that it was very, very close at one point. This interview was in conjunction with their book. Check it out at youngbucksbook.com. I am going to read it very soon. But Matt and Nick said that Matt usually has the better recall on things like that. So sometimes they would remember things and Matt would add detail to them accordingly. We did Shoot Softly with both Young Bucks and Kevin Owens. And I asked Young Bucks about Kevin Owens. And they said that they still keep in touch with him today. And they put over Tony Khan as a genius and were very thankful for what he has helped provide them. They said they're very happy to have FTR on their team. And I talked to Kevin Owens about Roman Reigns. He said that Roman Reigns always has his respect for not having his own locker room, at least until the pandemic started, when he started to stay away from people a little bit more. He wants to see Aleister Black and Apollo Crews both used better as well. So we have some Shooting Softly coming for you guys. Lots of ROH news. So LSG, when I spoke to him a few months ago, said that he did not have a contract in Ring of Honor. And we had, and I usually don't schedule interviews this close together, but Ring of Honor wanted me to talk to him for Final Battle. So that led me to believe that maybe he's got a contract. I even had one person in the company say, look at our roster page and say, I think he's got a contract now. LSG says no. He says he does not have a contract. And it does make him feel very good that Ring of Honor is putting confidence in him, even though he doesn't. Also, he's doing some of the work on the new Virtual Basement game as far as motion capture goes. Every time I talk to him, I find out a little bit more about that and what they have in store for that game. But he's never done anything like that before. He did go and try to recruit some members of the ROH roster to be in that game because it doesn't look like Ring of Honor is going to have a game anytime soon. But yeah, LSG working without a deal. We've got news on a very interesting pitch that I actually really, really like from Ring of Honor. Now, I first heard about this a while back, but was holding off for a while before reporting it because I kind of wanted to see if it fleshed out or anything. But Ring of Honor has a big pitch that seemed to get pretty far up the chain. I don't know if it's going to be enacted or anything, but that they're going to have defined divisions. And by that, I mean World Championship, Television Championship, Pure Rules, and you would have to declare before the match which you would be going for. And the differentiator would be that the world title matches would have a 60-minute time limit, the TV title division matches would have a 15-minute time limit, and the pure rules division matches would obviously have pure rules. Now, this affects the psychology within the match. I spoke to a couple people at length about this, and I thought it was a really good way of altering the pace of the match. It's a really good way of changing things. You've seen NWA do this with the TV title where, like, 6 minutes, 15-second time limit or something like that. That affects the pace. You're not going into a rest hold at that point. You're accelerating things. You're getting through it. If you've got a 15-minute time limit, you're going to work at a much faster pace than if you've got a 60-minute time limit or if you're in a pure rules match. I think this is a really, really good idea. It is outside the box. It might not catch on, but I think it's something that's worth a shot. Ring of Honor has really no buzz right now. And that's unfortunate because they've made a lot of steps to improve their product. 2019, not a good year for Ring of Honor. 2020 was going to be a good year for Ring of Honor. They were going to upgrade production. They were going to have more women involved. They've got these they've got these plans supposedly in order. Hopefully 2021 is better for Ring of Honor because they have a lot of super talented people there. Speaking of 2021, Impact Wrestling news, some contract news specifically. Now, if you guys haven't checked it out, we have a robust resources section at Fightful. I am so proud of that section. We keep WWE, NXT, UK, AEW, ROH, Impact rosters. We update contracts, we update injury reports, all that stuff. And so many websites, since we started the injury reports and the contract thing, have started to use that. And that makes me very happy because it means that it's a good idea. And we've now got pro wrestling free agents over there. But there's a lot of names listed for Impact that are in like the January, February, March area of 2021. I have had several wrestlers reach out and say, hey, this contract isn't up at that point. In fact, what happened was in 2018, Impact had signed a lot of people around December or January. But they held off the news to announce a bunch of re-signings in like February, March, and April. So people thought that these guys had signed, or girls had signed, multi-year deals in February, March, or April of 2019, which would put them through that. Now, normally, they would be like, oh, who gives a shit, right? Who cares? But there's a big differentiating factor here, and that's the fact that Impact has tapings at like the first couple of weeks of January. So if there's somebody that they signed in late 2018 and we think that their contract runs through March 2021, Impact would be able to get them for those January tapings and those March tapings if that's when the contract really ended. But it's not for some of these people. The deals will have been up before one or the other set of tapings. So they're not going to have some of these people as long as it looks like on the surface unless they sign them to extensions or new deals. So, yeah, that's something to kind of look out for. Well, hope you guys looked out for the We Nominal one. Swoggle showed up as AJ Styles. From what I have heard, AJ Styles did not know that this was coming. But based on those that we spoke to, he seemed to think it was great. We've not heard any issues with Swoggle using the old theme or the likeness or the gear or anything like that. And the spot was a big hit among the WWE and Impact locker rooms. Swoggle is still very well liked in the WWE locker room and has a lot of friends there. From what I understand, at least that's the way it was indicated to me when I asked around about this specific spot with WWE wrestlers. So it's good to see that everybody's in good spirits over that. Liv Morgan documentary dropped recently. Now, there was a very interesting spot in that documentary. There was a story we reported last year about Liv Morgan having her match with Ember Moon pulled right before it happened because WWE did not want her in front of a crowd before she was a finished product, so to speak. Now, this made the documentary, and they played it up as a good thing for Liv Morgan, and we kind of saw that Heavy Machinery were who took her place. I had some people mention to me that there were a lot of people checking on Otis and Tucker following the match because WWE doesn't like the wrestlers to perform without warming up. And there have been several instances in the past where that has led to injuries, specifically one significant injury a few years ago, I'm told. So there were a lot of people that were kind of checking on Otis and Tucker like, oh, you good? You good? You good? and that Otis and Tucker gained some favor in the locker room for doing it. But just a little bit of a story that I heard coming out of that documentary, and I had actually heard it a bit at that time as well, but it didn't seem significant until we kind of saw it in play. The match was very, very short as well, so it was protected in that manner. Injury updates. Charlotte Flair returned after a six-month absence and became a WWE Women's Tag Team Champion and a Grand Slam Champion. Tyler Bate returned after, gosh, 8-9 months off, and he is on the UK brand, still just 23 years old. Can you believe that? Brandi Rhodes, not injured, but she's out of the ring for quite a while. She announced her pregnancy on December 16th. She was working matches as recently as last month. I want to send my congratulations to Brandi and Cody Rhodes. That is amazing news. Man, this is a wild year for that. I mean, you got Renee Paquette and John Moxley, Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins, Eric and Sarah Logan. Mike and Maria had their child at the beginning of the year. A lot of wrestling-only families getting started, and you love to see it. You love to see it. Speaking of Mike Bennett, he has a hairline fracture in his ankle. He'll be back in 6 weeks, supposedly. I assume that's him targeting the next set of tapings. Alexa Bliss indicated that she was off TV because she had vacation time planned, and that's it. But that leads us to our contract updates. Alexa Bliss says that she has 3 to 3.5 years left on her WWE deal, which would put her at least through 2023. There are lots of contracts that, as of the latest reports, which in some cases are years ago on these people, you have Yuji Nagata and Tanahashi signed through 2020, Rocky Romero at least through 2020, and then over in ROH, Kenny King, Ryu Lee, and Rush all signed through 2020. EC3 was supposed to be signed basically through the end of the year, but he told me that he is going to go back to Ring of Honor and do some stuff there because he feels like he owes it to the fans, owes it to himself, Jay Briscoe, a lot of people doing that. So good to see that he's going to fulfill that creative void, so to speak, that has been left with him testing positive for COVID-19. TLC stats, Kevin Owens has participated in a ladder match every year since 2015 for WWE. Before that, he had not been in one since 2012. Drew McIntyre had never been in a TLC match, but he did have a role in the WLC match. He was also in 3 Money in the Bank ladder matches. AJ Styles and Drew McIntyre had their first televised one-on-one match at WWE TLC, but competed in a dark match in London after a Raw in May of 2019. They've also been in several tag team matches together. And then last night's turned into a triple threat. So does it count? I don't know. Since early November, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler had collectively lost 7 matches to lead to their pay-per-view title defense. Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens had their first one-on-one match since July 2019, and they've now competed in one-on-one matches every year since 2015 and have had 35 of them with 10 on television. 4 of the last 5 men to win the Money in the Bank contract did not successfully cash it in to win the title. That includes Baron Corbin, Braun Strowman, Otis, and The Miz, with Brock Lesnar successfully cashing it in. This is Shelton Benjamin's first WWE tag team title reign in over 17 years. He actually held this lineage of the titles in 2003 when they were on SmackDown under a different name. Now, I had a lot of people say, well, didn't he win them with Chad Gable? No, he didn't. There's footage of them holding up the titles, and they celebrated with them and had the nameplate, but then the match was restarted, so it doesn't count, and that sucks. Asuka is the first person to win the WWE Women's Tag Team titles with 2 different partners. Charlotte Flair has had 13 title reigns in WWE. She is now a Grand Slam champion across SmackDown, NXT, and Raw, so a lot of accomplishments being brought forth due to this WWE Women's Tag Team title reign, and I hope it's better than the stuff that they've done with most of the champions overall. WWE held their first Inferno match since 2006 at WWE Armageddon. They held 4 in 1998 and 1999, but have only had 2 in the 21 years since. WWE TLC 2020 was the first ever to not feature Kane. Now, we had a lot of people say, whoa, 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 what about Bray Wyatt and Kane in 2013? That was a Ring of Fire match. You didn't have to be set on fire to lose that match. It was by pinfall. Guys, thank you all so much. Going to give you all a little preview, some of the things you can expect at FightfulSelect.com when we move on to the website. The match ratings and the live blogs, those will become Fightful Select exclusives. In fact, the only reason they're not right now is because I do want a record of them, my notes and ratings and all that stuff within the site. So once that moves on to the site for Fightful Select, I'll have that. It will be exclusive to FightfulSelect.com moving forward. We'll be chatting during every single show. If you want to talk to me during the show, just chat some shit. That's the place to do it. So every week I'm going to try to give you a little bit more info on the new FightfulSelect.com on its way. That's the first. My match ratings and live blogs and discussion will be exclusive to Fightful Select. Thank you guys so much. Until next time, we're out.